We are on Doctrine and Covenants section 35 today, and it's our introduction to Sidney Rigdon, a truly great man in the church. And one of the things that I found in reading about him is he had two congregations that he had brought together of Reformed Baptists, and they were all seeking for the truth and did not feel that it was on the earth yet. And I think that's amazing. He was a great man that was well respected. And the four missionaries that had gone to preach to the Indians, part of their missionary work was to come into contact with Sidney Rigdon and to preach to him and come and teach him. And when they first came across him and taught him about the Book of Mormon, it says that he partly condemned it and just wasn't. He accepted it, said he would read it, but he was not thrilled with it. That was October 28th, again in 1830, when the church was organized. And so by November 4th, which is about 6 days later, he joins them and going to teach other people. And by November 7th, he is declaring the truth of the Book of Mormon. And so it's virtually about 10 days that he becomes this staunch believer. And one of the things I really loved reading is he comes home to his wife and says to her, "This is going to change everything. You once followed me into poverty. Are you willing to do it again?" And I love her answer. She says, "It is my desire to do the will of God, come life or death." And it's so touching to me as we covenant in the temple that we will do all that we can. And I don't want to give the exact covenant, but we covenant. And I think it's amazing that here we have so many examples of early members of the church who really gave all. And it here's an example of a man and his wife who gave up their reputation and what they had built for the gospel. And he hadn't even met Joseph Smith at this point. He then comes in November and meets Joseph Smith and asks him to seek for the Lord to tell him what he will have him do, and is told in this very section that he will be the scribe for Joseph Smith and that he is called to serve faithfully and be watch over Joseph Smith. And the cool thing is he does that. Sidney Rigdon does eventually fall away, but there is some study in the fact that he was tarred and feathered. He went through really, really hard things. He was dragged by a horse, hit his head. A lot of people believed he had a concussion or some brain damage. And anyway, he does fall away, but it's not until after Joseph Smith's gone. And so he did serve faithfully as Joseph's right hand and in his presidency, his Joseph Smith's whole life. And I just think that is amazing. He virtually gave up everything for the church and for God and to do God's will. And I love that. Okay, so in verse 1, I love that the Lord says it's one eternal round. We hear that a lot. And I think we just need to remember that God's plan never changed. The plan that we heard before we ever came is the same plan that we teach, that he taught when he was on the earth. And I think that's really important. I love when they have said in the past, we're reminding people of truth they covenanted to before they ever came to the earth. That's the coolest thing to me. In verse 2, he testifies of himself that he is the Son of God who was crucified. And one of the things I love that he says that when they are baptized and brought into this covenant, they can become the sons of God. And if you look at the footnote on sons, it's sons and daughters. We become his. We become spiritually begotten when we enter the waters of baptism. And because of his crucifixion, through repentance, we become his, and he pleads for us to the Father. That's how we become his sons and daughters. And then he says, "Even one in me as I am one in the Father." And I love that because we hear this a lot. And it was in teaching a lesson in seminary, I had this really cool experience that I hadn't thought of before, just an idea had come of what to do. And it was through saying to the kids, I would call on random students and say, who is your favorite apostle? And they would say, like, Uchtdorf is my favorite. Well, what do you know about Uchtdorf? Well, I know he's from Germany, and I know that his family had to flee. Well, you must relate to that. Have you had to flee from some persecution or for safety of your life? Have you had to? And they're like, no. Well, what did he do? He was a pilot. Well, you must have been a pilot, or you must want to be a pilot for you to. And they're like, no. And as you do several apostles, as you talk about President Nelson, well, you must love him because you must want to be a heart surgeon. You must want, you know, after you do four or five, the point is made very, very clearly. Well, when we talk about being one, that doesn't mean having the same personality. It doesn't mean that our thoughts, or not even our thoughts, it doesn't mean that our mind is the same, that our desire to, in what we study is the same, our sense of humor is the same, the way we dress is the same. What it means is our purpose and our desire to follow Heavenly Father and put Him first in our life is the same. And I love that, because I think it was the lesson with the three disciples who chose that and to be one with Him, and how it came to me so clearly. Those of us who chose to come at this time and be part of the gathering, to be part of His army, to bring others to His feet, also desired that very thing, to be one with Him. So even though we are all different, and God loves differences, the way the world is healed of its divisiveness and its cruelty at this time, when we point fingers at each other and everything seems in commotion, is through becoming one in purpose of drawing to our Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ, and coming to them through ordinances and covenants and obeying the commandments and being kind. That is how the world will be healed. And so I really, really love that He invites them to become one. And we do that through baptism and a desire to follow Him. And I think that's such a beautiful message for us now today. Okay, verse 6, He gives him. So here's Sidney Rigdon, who has brought these people to his congregations who are searching for truth, and they don't feel like the truth is there. So cool. And he has baptized people. Well, now in verse 6, he's going to receive the authority to not only baptize with the correct priesthood authority, but also give the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I just think, what an incredible thing for this man who has searched for truth to now know he has the same power, the power of God, that the apostles who walked with Jesus Christ, His disciples on the earth when He was here, had. And then it goes on to describe that in verse 9. And whoso shall ask it in my name in faith, they will cast out devils. They will heal the sick. They will cause the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak, and the lame to walk. And one of the coolest things about being a member of the church is knowing we have access to God's power, that every young man who turns 12 and is worthy has that access. And I love that. I love that we get to add to the good that other people have in other churches, and we get to give more. And I just think that's such, it has to have been such a neat thing to have sought for this his whole life and be given this gift. And I love that it says in verse 12, there are none that doeth good except those who are ready to receive a fullness of the gospel, which is priesthood power and ordinances and covenants and baptism. So I just love that for him. Okay, it gives him the command in 20 to be the scribe. And then in 21, it says, the people in general, for they shall hear my voice, and they shall see me, and shall not be asleep, and shall abide the day of my coming, for they shall be purified, even as I am pure. And I love that they will hear. How many times do we hear they're blind, and they cannot, you know, that they're hard-hearted, and that they're deaf? I love that it says, not only will they hear, they will see and not be asleep. We have that scripture, awake, awake, how cool, not be asleep, and shall abide the day, which means we will stand, we will go through everything we're called to go through with him, and they will abide the day of my coming. And will be purified as I am pure. We will become one with him. We will be whole through the atonement. He will give us the strength. He will give us the ability to do it if we call on him and have faith in him. And I love that so much. In 22, it says, and now I say, tarry you with him. And that's Joseph Smith. And that is where he's told, forsake him not, be with him. And that is just so touching to me that he does. Even through all the hard things, the tarring, the feathering, the persecution, he does. Okay, in 24, keep all the commandments and covenants by which you are bound, and I will cause the heavens to shake for your good. And I want you to think of Moroni in that scripture. And Satan shall tremble, and Zion shall rejoice upon the hills and flourish because of him, because of what he does, because of us. I will cause the heavens to shake for your good, and Satan shall tremble, and Zion shall rejoice. And I just love that. And again, he ends with, I come quickly. It does have the parable in this section 35 of the fig tree. It mentions, and that's just that we will know that the fig tree, because of the leaves coming, that summer is coming. And again, it's the woman in travail in the ninth month. We see those signs and we know that it's time. And it says in the student handbook, there has been more prophecy fulfilled in the last 43 years on the face of the earth than in the 2000 years previous. These mighty prophecies we have received, Joseph Smith, it's talking about, we have received every key, every ordinance, every law ever given to any man on this earth from Father Adam down to this dispensation. That is the great and marvelous work that we are a part of. And I just love that. I love Sidney Rigdon. I love learning about these great men who sacrificed so much for us. How lucky we are to be members of this incredible church. And I loved that scripture that he will walk with us and we will make it through this. We will abide the day and be one with him and be purified. And I love that. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.